He has done great things. Yes, he has done great things. Oh, yes, he has done great things. Bless his holy name. The bride will
bless the Lord.
Just bless the Lord. My soul and all that is within me, bless his holy name. The bride will
bless the Lord.
Just bless the Lord. My soul and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For he has done great things. Yes, he has done great things. Yes, he has done great things. I know that he has done great things. Bless his holy name. The bride will
bless the Lord.
Oh, bless the Lord. My soul and all that is within me, bless his holy name. The bride will
bless the Lord,
just bless the Lord. With all my soul and all that is within me, bless his holy name. One more time, he has done great things. Yes, he has done great things. Thank you, Lord. Yes, he has done great things. Oh, yes, he has done great things. Bless his holy name. Amen, amen. Brother Mike, you guys can be seated.
Yes, Lord, yes.
I was thinking when Pastor Moore was talking about that, if you're the only one in Fairborn, that you better be able to claim it yourself. Right. And I thought that for just a second. And it's like, no. It's like, I love you guys enough that I'd take you with me regardless. But I know what I have.
Amen.
And worst case scenario, you're all covered by under my token. And it's just... have that kind of a rest in this day.
Amen.
Is just amazing. And I'm just grateful for this ministry that put this word into me, that it just shows you that it's all they've ever preached is victory for you.
That's right.
Victory. Yes, anything you need and want, is right there at your hands for you. And I'm just grateful for it.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Mike.
Brother
Mike.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. There's no place I'd rather be but right here. And there's nothing more important than right here. You know, I love this word, and I love the body. And when you come in here, you can feel the love of God.
Amen.
It's strong.
Amen, amen.
And it's all because of the word.
That's right.
And each and every one of us.
Yes.
And, you know, not too long ago, Brother Moore says, well, why do you come here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. I thought a lot about that. And, you know, I come here because I believe it.
Right.
That's right.
And I got so many things wrong with me that this word can fix it.
Amen. Amen.
That's right. But if I sit home, it's not going to fix it.
Right, right.
And my mind, you know, gets all out of adjustment.
Yeah,
and I need to come here to get it back in line.
Amen.
You know, God's kind of like a chiropractor, you know. He makes adjustments of your brain and your body.
Yeah,
and he takes things and leaves things. And
get lined up.
I'm happy with the way I am. I mean, I wish more things would change, but that's up to him.
Amen.
Amen. Sure.
But, you know, this is where the truth is. And there's no truth anywhere outside of this message. And I love it with all my heart.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. I want to sing page 199. I give myself away. Key of F. Oh, somebody behind me. Sister Don? Oh, come on. Come on up, Sister Don. I saw somebody. He was looking at somebody behind me. I'm like, go ahead.
I'm just grateful to be here. You know, it's funny. I was telling Sister Ramon in the bathroom, you get so annoyed. I was cleaning my floors this morning, and the Lord was just talking to me. And I was thinking about, he was bringing that scripture. God was made flesh and dwelt among us. And the light, well, he was the light, and darkness comprehended it not.
Amen.
And then I was thinking, he just moved right into, he inhabits the praise of his people.
Amen. Right,
and I just want to praise him. I'm so grateful.
Amen, amen.
You know, he's so good.
Amen.
And I appreciate AJ's parents getting to be here today.
Amen.
They're good people. Because they made a wonderful young man to marry my daughter. He's wonderful, and I appreciate it.
Right.
And today is truly miraculous.
Yes.
Because Henry is a miracle of God.
Amen.
What Kara went through, you know, even there's more backstory that doesn't need to be told, but there was more backstory, and God just brought her through, and I just thank God. And I was thinking that song, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Amen.
And I'll just go ahead and sing it. I was going to have Brother Warren play it with me, but that's kind of short notice for him. But
he don't need notice. He's a professional.
Yeah.
Sure, he's practiced it before. Yeah. You know the song. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Amen.
We'll sing that.
The presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. For surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. In the midst of His children, that the Lord said would be. It doesn't take very many. It can be just two or three. And I feel that same sweet spirit that I felt oft times before. Surely I can say that I've been my Lord. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. For surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. There's a holy rush around us as God's glory fills this place. I've touched the hem of God's garment. I can almost see His face, and my heart is overflowing with the fullness of God's joy. And I know without a doubt that I've been with the Lord. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. For surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Surely the presence, yes, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel God's mighty power and His grace. I can I see glory on each face. For surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Amen. Sister Courtney.
I just wanted to thank God for being here. You know, I appreciate a God that protects me. I appreciate a God that keeps me here.
Amen.
You know, and I want to give my husband flowers. Like, I'm just so grateful for that man. Like, he's such a strong man that constantly keeps God in our home. He constantly keeps God first, and he shows everybody what's important. You know, and it's so nice. And I remember, I think it was Sister Renee a while ago. She gave a testimony that, you know, when she was just stirred up at night, she would just reach over and just touch Brother Jud, and it just kind of gave her a peace. And that's helped me, you know. And when I'm awake in the middle of the night, I just reach over and I just touch it. Yeah. You know, and I'm just thankful that God is just present in our home, and I can just reach over and touch it. Or I can just reach over and just talk to Him. You know, it's something to say that you have somebody in this church that can, it's a precious thing.
Amen.
Right. I don't ever want to take that for granted.
Amen.
You know, and I'm also so thankful, you know, my daughter's now a senior, you know, and I think about constantly how, like, you know, when we came and we said we were pregnant, you know, it just seems like it was yesterday. But, you know, we've kept God in our kids' lives, and we've done what we can do. And I know, like, Pastor Moore, I think, told us during the sisters' breakfast, I think, you know, like, you, that's all you can do. Like, you introduce them to God, and then at some point, you know, they have to know it for themselves. Amen. You know, I can say I'm going to bring them underneath my token, but it's an individual walk.
That's right.
You know, and I keep telling my kids all the time, I'm like, you know, like, because one thing they do know, they'll tell me all the time, Mom, I know we have not because we ask not, you know, and so of course they're asking for things all the time, you know, and I'm, but you know, it's a start. It's a start.
Right.
Right. They know it's the word. And, you know, and they understand that they can speak it, you know, and when they're going through something, you know, just like the world, you know, when things get tough, that's when they know God. You know, everybody knows God at that point. Everybody wants you to pray for him at that point. You know, but I'm thankful that, you know, at least we've introduced them to God, and my son's about to graduate from Sunday school because he's going into high school, and I'm like, where did the time go? You know, but I'm just glad that I've got this place.
Hey, let me slip mine in here real quick.
Go ahead, man.
Y'all don't know I'm sitting here waiting to say something.
Oh, I know you were.
But I am. You know, I'm thankful for the presence of God, you know, and the reality, you know. And if Satan, one thing he tries to do is steal that reality away from us.
Yeah,
you know, how real, how ever present God is, you know, the things of the world, the circumstances, and things we have to deal with every day. But, you know, it's real. This is real.
Amen.
This is real. You know, I was thinking this morning, you know, about the church ages. You know, he said there's Alpha and the Omega, mm-hmm. you know. But he was in the midst.
Yeah.
In between.
Yeah.
You know, he's the Alpha Omega. I'm predestined. He's seen me before the foundation of the world. He's seen me there after the foundation of the world. In the middle, I've got something to do with that.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, sometimes it's the devil. Sometimes it's God. Sometimes it's just you. It is. And really, you know, a lot of it's just really up to you. This can be as real as you want it to be. You can have as much God as you want. You know, it's like a wife and a husband, you know. A husband don't force himself on his wife. But she can have all she wants. You know, it's really up to her. You know, I'm a husband. I don't refuse my wife at all. You know, she wants to hug me, I will hug her back. She wants a kiss, I'll give her a kiss back, you know. But if she don't want, she's busy, you know, got her hands in the dishwater, you know, I want to kiss you. I'm too busy. I said, okay, I'll catch you later. I'm ready. I'm ready anytime. That's a man. That's a husband. That's the masculine. And God is ready anytime. Anytime. You want to praise him, he will receive it, especially from his bride. You know, if he can heal a drunk in the gutter just because he can touch him with a little bit of faith, how much more his bride? That means so much to him, that he's done everything for him. You know, that's everything to him. And I think it's high time we pull up next to him.
Amen.
And we say, Lord, you're everything to me.
Amen.
I can't get enough of him.
Amen.
I really can't. Amen. I get here and I think, Lord, you've done so much. You've brought me so far. You've provided everything. I couldn't think of anything he had provided that he hasn't made a way, that he hasn't just blessed me with it, you know. It means everything to me. I just want to pull up that much closer, never miss an opportunity to tell him I love him, never miss an opportunity to thank him for what he's done. You know, that means everything. And it means everything to him.
Right.
And if I know it means everything to him, then how much more wouldn't I want to just give him everything?
Right.
This is how this works. It's a love affair. It's a love affair.
Exactly right.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Sister Sandra?
I just wanted to give thanks to the Lord because I'm here one more time.
Right.
For the husband that he gave me.
Yeah.
Who showed me something that
Amen.
I don't know that I've ever seen before, and that's when you get something on you, to just pull yourself apart and you pray and you talk to God and he fixes it. Like, I mean, I know it's been mentioned, but to watch my husband go through that showed me a whole different level, and I'm so grateful that God has given me other chances.
Amen.
And that God has worked with me, and that every single service he's told me something that I can fix, and that means that I have another chance to make it right. And the patience that my husband has shown with me through all of this, I mean, I've come a long way. I've come a long way, and I have a long way to go. But I know I've already made it.
Amen.
And I am so thankful because between the word that my husband gets and gives to our house that comes from the God that comes through the ministry and the body with the real-time examples. It's the most amazing thing I've ever experienced, and this is, we stopped off. I saw a free barbecue sign yesterday in Drexel at this church that I didn't see the name of. And my husband needed to go to work, and I had already been to work. And my husband was like, and I didn't know where it was, so he went with me because, you know, I guess Drexel's not really somewhere you're supposed to be with kids and you know, without a man or something. I don't know. I'm not from here. And so my husband rode with me, and the kids and I got out, and there were these people. I still don't know what they were, but the women all had the white veils on their heads. And I didn't know, still don't know really anything about them. But what was really interesting is these women started coming up and talking to me and being real friendly, like, well, this one woman, because they asked me where I go to church. And I said, Fairborn Community Tabernacle. And this one older woman came up and said, after they started asking me about scriptures and doctrines and things, and because I wear dresses of my own volition, because the Lord led it to me, because I wore pants my whole life before that, and they liked that about me. They said, do you know Joy Prater? Well, yes, she goes to church with me. And she said, I thought so. And I said, how did you put that together? She said, the things that you said and how you dress, I knew that you were from the same fold. And I scratched my head because I was thinking, I was like, I'm like the odd man out for the whole congregation. Like, I'm the last one that you're going to associate with being one of them, regardless of what God's word taught me on. But to hear that it actually came back to that.
Amen.
To where somebody else on the outside that doesn't even come here, that's never even come here, can say,
right. Come on.
That I'm one of them.
Amen.
And I'm grateful.
Amen. Amen.
And I want to tell you that he has brought me through so much. And I am so thankful to be here one more time.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Brother, come grab me. Brother James.
Okay.
Have a seat.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I was told a couple weeks ago to play a solo, and I've been sitting back there, so okay. I'm like, let me get out here on my own. But it's been a little rough couple days for me. Have a lot of stomach issues going on, and it led me that I wasn't here on Wednesday, and I don't like to miss, but I had to go to the ER. All for them. I walked out, you know, for many months, actually years. I've never got an answer what's going on with me. So I walked in, I thought, I'm going to get an answer. I walked out and really got no answer. So they kind of led it back to my GI doctor. But I said, you know, and all this, I'm tired of all the stuff I'm going through. But God is a healer.
Amen.
And I'm just believing right. on yes, that God. No matter what happens, you know, what the devil wants to throw at me. He's telling right. me I need another left knee replacement. I already had a right one. I mean, just everything. But, you know, I'm just tired of all this. And I said, you know, God is a healer. He's going to heal me. I already believe it. Amen. I'm yeah. already claiming it. So Amen. On that note,
Amen.
Song for you. I think you'll know this song, How Great Is Our God, because He is great.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother James, you'll be the last one.
I wanted to publicly repent and take my stake and drive it down. I've been praying with complacency lately. You know, I operate off lists, and I've been using my prayers like it was almost a bullet point email to God, and that's not how we approach it. And if that's why it may not be unbelief, I think it's disrespectful, and that's worse. I can accept unbelief, but disrespecting God when you know all who He is and what He's done.
Come on.
You know, and I don't want to be there. I don't want to be that man.
Amen.
When I approach Him, I want to approach Him the right way.
Yes.
Amen. God bless Brother James.
Amen.
Couple announcements. June the 11th, Brother Jeremiah is going to be at Little Bethlehem. Tonight, we do not have Bible study, enjoy the holiday weekend. And it looks like we got a dedication today. Looking forward to that.
Amen.
It's excited. Good to see Brother AJ's parents here. You're sitting in a church of a bunch of people, just crazy believers. So you're seeing people pop up, different things. I know it's not like any other church. It's never like any other church I've ever been to. And so it takes a little getting used to. But it's just a bunch of people that are excited to serve God. And
Amen.
You know, there was a statement that said, you know, it's kind of like you come in here like a colonel. And you just get heated up, and then it just starts popping. It just starts popping over here, and you leave out of here different than you came in. You might have came in all hard and staunchy, but you leave light and fluffy. So appreciate what God's going to do. Looking forward to the dedication. We'll sing one song and get Pastor Moore up. We'll sing How Great Is Our God. We can sing that. Page 210. How Great Is Our God. Appreciate it, sister. Singing out.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Oh, sing with me. How great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. H to H, he stands. H to H, he stands. And time is in his hands. The beginning and the end. Beginning and the end. The Godhead. The Godhead, three in one. Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, how great is our God. Oh, sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. He's the name above all names. He is the name
above all names.
So worthy of our praise.
So worthy.
How great is our God. He's the name above all names. He is the
name above all names.
So worthy of our praise.
So worthy of our praise.
My heart will sing. My heart will sing, how great is our God. How great is our God. Hallelujah. How great is our God. Oh, sing with me. And all will see how great is our God. He's the name above all other names. Oh, he is the name above all names. So worthy, so worthy of all praise. How great is our God. He's a name above all names. Oh, he's a name above all names. Oh, so worthy of all praise. And my God. How great is our
Father, we're so grateful to be gathered together in your house this morning. How great you are. Lord, all the praises that we could muster up couldn't begin to give back to you what you've given to us. And to know that you are so great and you supply all of our needs and you watch over us and you take care of us. And Lord, you're concerned about us. Father, we come here this morning thankful in our hearts, knowing that you are a great God. Ask you, Lord Jesus, to take this service, the remainder of it, and use it for your glory. Have your way in this service and be with those that are away. And Father, ask you to just keep your protective hands on them and us as well. As we move into the service, the part of it where the word is opened up before the people, Lord, I can do nothing but read the word, and I'm not even that great at that. But Lord, you're the one who can come and take those words and can make them live in our lives. And that's our expectation and that's our prayer, Lord, is that you move here today and that when we leave here today, we will, Lord, know that it's been good to be right in your presence and that the words that were spoken were those of yours and that you would quicken it to our hearts. Touch those that are sick, those that need a touch in their bodies, Sister Christy and, Lord, her family and the situations there and the different ones, Dawn and John, and the different situations throughout the body and those that we know. Father, we know that you are able to answer our prayers, and we know that you've already paid the price for the deliverance and the healing. And Lord, we want to thank you in advance for it, knowing that, Lord, you're going to see it through. Have your way this morning. Speak to our hearts. Speak to the hearts of the waiting people, Father. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. And I think what we'll do is we'll just do the dedication. We got a baby dedication this morning. We were counting back to the last dedication. I think it was 3 years ago, my granddaughter. I think that's what we decided yesterday. That was the last one we had, was 3 years ago. Now, this is a special dedication. What you all don't know is Kara was my first dedication as a pastor. And I don't even want to say her age because that's not polite. But I can add it up because I know how long I've been pastor. But it's amazing to me that Kara has had a child. And that I dedicated her many, many, not so many years ago. And it's a privilege to be able to do this today because, you know, I'm not old, but I'm getting older. And I don't know how long I'll be pastor. I'm not planning on dying as a pastor. I'm planning on turning it over to Jeremiah at some point. And then I'll be doing other things, maybe going out ministering or doing things that I can do. But it's really amazing to me that she is my first dedication and Henry could be my last. I don't know, but it would only be fitting. So it took us 3 years between last dedication and this one. Only God knows what we'll be in 3 years. But so this is a special dedication to me, and for many reasons. I'll share this, and I won't share a lot, because I was telling Dawn yesterday, I said, there's people, you all don't even know how much of a miracle this is. I mean, I'm not just talking about Henry coming. I'm talking about the whole thing. From before her and AJ met, when Kara had her idea of what she wanted to do in her life, and God had a different idea, and you know, I knew when I talked to her that the answer I gave her wasn't what she wanted to hear, and it wasn't even what John and Dawn wanted to hear. It was, they were all set in one thing, and God took it another direction, said, you have some things to express. You have too much love in you, Kara, to stay by yourself. I'll say it like that. How's that, Kara? Is that acceptable? And I said, Kara, open your hand. Let God take out what he doesn't want in there and let him put in. That's what we should do. Because we have an idea of what we want to do and what we want to be in life. And
yes.
Kara turned it over to God. We were right back there in that dining room. And that Sunday morning, and I knew it was important because Kara never asked me to just come and talk to me unless she really has something real important. And I told her then, and God put it on my heart to tell her this. I said, Kara, open your hand. I said, you got too much love in you to not share that. And John and John, y'all were there. It was us three standing back there. And at the time, Kara wasn't dating anybody. At the time, she was ready to start a school, her education down in Cincinnati. She said, since I'm not going to get married, am I telling the truth, Kara? She said, since I'm not going to get married, I want to get, I want to further my education because I need to have income and to be able to support myself. And that was in Kara's mind. And this is before AJ. And God came back in that kitchen and told her exactly what to do. He said, open your hand, Kara. You've got too much love in you to just bottle it up. And that was October. And then they called me in the back room again in February. And John and Don were concerned. And this is where I don't listen to nobody. You know, John's my best friend. I don't listen to him. We went back in the back room again. Circumstances. That's what I say. Y'all don't know the whole story. That's why I'm taking the time this morning to let you see how much God is in it. John and Don brought Kara back to the back there again, that kitchen. They were concerned about Kara because Kara was talking to this fella. Now, mind you, from October to February, she's talking to this fella and she's getting really serious. And John was not happy. And they let me know it. John and Don were not, they weren't going for this. She'd gone out there in the world and she started dating and about ready to date. I don't even know if she had started. She was considering it. And John and Don was not having it because he wasn't in the message. He wasn't a believer. He wasn't this. He wasn't that. They had all kind of reasons, and I saw it. I stopped them all. I said, hold it. God can do whatever he needs to do. Don't be worried about, what is his name? AJ. Okay, what is it? Don't be worried about AJ. You just, now we've asked Kara to open her hand. She opened it. And then when she opened it, John and Don wanted to close it. And that was in February. And then AJ, I don't even know which came first. AJ started coming to church. And he never left. So what? So what could John and Don say? Because they actually, I went over their house. You know, I sit back and I would just watch things. AJ started coming around and I'd go over to John and Don's and AJ. And AJ wasn't even there. I didn't really know him. And all I was hearing was from Don and John, AJ. And I'm like, my goodness. Who is this AJ? And because I just seen him at church. I really didn't know him because I didn't really talk to him for a long time while he was here because I always just watch and see what people do, you know, whether they're going to stay or go. I don't try to convince them to stay, and I don't try to convince them to go. Well, I do try to convince people to go. But AJ was getting more and more into their conversation, more and more into their conversations. And then AJ asked to marry Kara. I'm like, oh my goodness. All right. And I gave you my blessing, and he got everybody's blessing that he needed, and they got married. And then she gets pregnant. Not even supposed to have the child. I had three, and wasn't supposed to have one. So I know how that is. Doctors tell you, you can't, and God says, yes, you can. And here comes Henry. And this is 2 years, year and a half? I don't even know. It ain't been long. But God doesn't worry about time. Amen. Now, the only problem with Henry is his middle name or his first name's not Nathaniel. I call Jonathan John Nathan all the time because that's as close as I got to. And I was told, well, you got your son named after you, so that's all you get. So it's like, okay, so he's Henry. So that'll work. Henry James. I don't know how that happened. But it was a good Bible name. So I am proud of AJ and Kara. They didn't take a back seat. They have been an integral part of this church and continue to be a major part. AJ brings his guitars and plays. He sings, and he can sing. Kara's taking pictures of everybody under the sun here on all the outings and anything that we get involved with. She's taking care of that, and she does the end of the year presentation that we show at New Year's. So they're not sitting in here just taking a back seat. They're taking a front seat.
That's right.
And as they bring Henry into the world here, now, they brought him to the best place they could bring him. This world is falling apart. But there are people that still believe in God. And though the majority of the people have turned God down, there are still people who can believe in God. And this is the best place to bring Henry to the house of God, where he can be taught the Word of God. And as AJ and Kara start a new life, and it is a new life, it's totally different when you get that child. Everything changes. Getting up and running the house is over. Just running out the door, can't do it. For the next few years, they'll have diaper bags, car seats, kindergarten, high school, college. Their life has changed. And thank God, because now they can express the love. Because a love for your children is an example and a type and a shadow of the love of God. If you think you love your child, think how much more God loves you. And God gives us children as a blessing so that we can be reminded daily of the love of God and how much He loves us. So I went all around the block there to let you all see that this is really, Henry is a miracle child. And I thank God for him. And I would like the families to come down, and we're going to pray for Henry. We've got grandparents here. I had a privilege to go and hold Henry on day one. They let me come into the hospital when they wouldn't let nobody in, hardly. And I got to hold Henry, and he's a little snuggle bum. So we're going to pray for Henry, and with his little hat. This is always so. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's such a privilege here to be able to stand and to see this miracle this miracle of life. It's always a miracle of life when you bring a child into the world. But this is a special miracle. Because you saw Henry from before the foundation of the world, and you knew that all the education, all the turns and twists in life that Kara and AJ would have taken, it would have brought them right to each other, because this right here, little Henry, is what you had in your mind from before the foundation of the world. And we're so thankful to be able to stand here and witness this. We ask you, Lord Jesus, now to touch little Henry. Blessing as he grows, let him be strong and healthy. Let everywhere he places his feet, let your word follow him. And Father, make him a leader. Make him a strong man. Let him, Lord, look to you as he's been taught by his parents. And Father, I pray that you'll help them to be the example so that Henry could see an example of you in them. And Lord, let little Henry be a binding tie to that home, that Satan won't be able to move in at all now, because, Lord, you put them together closer now than they've ever been in their life. They thought they loved each other before, but now, Lord, this is the expression of their love. And ask you to take that home and make it a home that you will be in. Let every move be made for your glory. Let Daddy, Lord, express you. Let Mommy express you. And Lord, let it be such an example that those that will look from afar off will see God in that home. This right here is what you meant for a husband and wife. Putting together a family. And Lord, as AJ and Kara handed little Henry to me, I hand him back to you and ask you to love him and protect him and keep him. Thank you for everything. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. He's got one eye open. Hello there. God bless you. Okay. He's awake now. I'm not trying to be freaking awake. God bless you all. Congratulations, grandparents. Dawn, God bless you.
I said, he's a good guy. I said, he's a good boy. I said, you know, because, you know, there's so many things that happen, mm-hmm. you know, but I just praise God. I praise God that he's blessed my family. You know, the secret is the word of God.
Amen.
There's just no way past that. There's nothing I did.
Mm-mm.
You know, all I did is as the word came forth, I applied it to my family. As God preached to me, as God talked to me, I just applied it to my family. And like you say, you gotta let God have his way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I am so proud of AJ and Kara.
Oh, yes.
So proud. You know, AJ's got the burden on his shoulders now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's the man of the house, mm-hmm. you know, and he's got to take the leadership, and yeah. he's got to listen to God and apply it to his home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though it may say, well, sound old-fashioned, the Bible has offices for all of us.
Yes, sir.
You know, and as Pastor says, we all have a boss.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor has a boss even, and, mm-hmm. you know, we all have a boss.
That's right.
We report to somebody, you know, so I just praise God. You know, and that song they said, you know, I could almost see the face of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I heard that, I thought, you know, I look out and I do see the face of God.
That's right.
You know, I just thank God for everything. Thank God for my wife.
Amen.
You know, my wife, she, you know, Mel turned around and looked at me when she said I was cleaning the floors this morning. And just because it's Sunday doesn't mean she didn't get up at 6 in the morning and do the chores that she does every day because it's just in her to do it. You know, a virtuous woman. You know, and that virtuous woman, she was the minister to our home.
Right.
You know, she has a role too.
Amen.
You know, and she's the one that, you know, talked to our kids, and she's the one that put the word of God in them. You know, I set the standard, but she's the one with them. You know, it's the wife.
Oh yeah.
And wives, don't buck against your husband. You know, put that word in them. You know, show them.
That's right.
You know, if you want them to be a good wife and to be a good husband, you have to be an example.
Amen.
You know, and she did that. I can't say one bad thing about my wife. I love her with everything that's in me.
Amen.
I love her with everything that's in me. And that woman, I you know, Satan has attacked her. He's hit her body, you know, the accident, and then her lungs, and, you know, I look at all that stuff, and she doesn't let anything stop her. She pushes. I have to hold her back.
Amen.
You know, but she pushes. She does. You know, her sister has cancer, and she lives 2.5 hours away. And my wife asked me, she said, do you think it would be okay with you if I got up at 5 o'clock in the morning and drove 2.5 hours every day and took care of my sister and then got home before nighttime? I said, no, it's not okay with me. You know, there's so much you can do, but she was willing. She did. She asked that with sincerity.
Oh, yeah.
She asked that with sincerity. You know, and then she said, well, can she come and move in with us? And I said, well, yeah. But that wasn't God's plan. She went down and talked to them. They said, no, we want to try it here. You know, but it's in her heart.
Amen.
And I just praise God for her. You know, some of us are chickens and some of us are pigs. And I don't mean it in a disrespectful way, but my wife is a pig.
Amen.
She gives her all. You know, the chicken just lays an egg. And that's it for breakfast. You eat an egg. But the pig gives its life.
Amen.
Because that pig, for breakfast, that pig doesn't live after that.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. You know, if you want to see some examples, there are examples out there. As I mean, if you know what you're looking for, if you don't know what you're looking for, you can have Jesus Christ right in your face and you wouldn't even know it. So if you want examples, you can see that. If you want to see how people give of themselves, you can see that. And if you want to see how people open their hand and let God have their life, you can see that. It's all right in front of you. It's all right in front of you, and it's good. It's good. It's that God has a way. And the thing I love about it is God never changes his mind about his way. And his way is perfect. We get modernized. We get this new world order, and we get this new standard of living, and we change. Man changes all the time. We've been changing since the beginning of time. Man's always changed, but not God. And that's what I love about the Word of God, that the Word of God means what it says, and it says what it means. And it doesn't need an interpreter. I don't have to get up here and read you the scripture and then interpret what it's trying to say. No, God interprets his own word by bringing it to pass. And the best thing you could do is get out of the way and let his word have its perfect work in your life. And what you'll find is when you find the word of God moving forward and manifesting itself right in front of your eyes, you don't need an interpreter. When Jesus opened up the blinded man's eyes, he didn't have to go back and interpret it to anybody and say, this is God, this is what God is doing. He didn't have to say a word. The very evidence that the blind man told him, he said, you know what, because they pulled him aside and they told him, he said, Jesus did this, and what did he do to you? And he's like, don't you know Jesus is a bad man? Do you know he let a prostitute wash his feet with her hair? Do you know he ate corn on the Sabbath? Do you know him and his disciples eat with unwashed hands? And the man that was standing there, it was the very interpretation of the Word of God. He said, he may be everything you said. All I know is I was blind, but now I see. The very manifestation showed itself. Now, Carrie don't have to tell you she opened up her hand. Everybody in this place knows she did. Because the very manifestation is right before your eyes.
And you say, well, that was just luck. That was just this. It was just that. No.
You need to understand God interprets his own word by bringing it to pass in your life. Amen. Not just in the Bible, but in your life. If you want to see God's word manifested, look at your own life. Yes. And you should be able to find God. Yes. Now, a lot of people won't find God. And you know why they won't find God? Because they don't know God. They don't know God. They didn't know him when he was here the first time. Jesus stood there and they had Barabbas and Jesus standing right in front of them. And they said, pick which one you want. And they chose Barabbas over Jesus. He was standing right before them, had healed the sick, raised the dead, opened the eyes of the blind, did nothing but good. And they took Barabbas over top of him because they did not know God. He was standing right in front of them. And they couldn't recognize him. And in an hour we're living in, God could be standing right in front of you. And if you don't know the word of God, you wouldn't even know him. And that's the problem that it is today. People don't know the word of God. They have their own interpretation of the word of God. But see, God interprets his own word. I don't need a doctor of divinity to tell me what the Bible says. The Bible will tell it what it says when it happens. When God created the heavens and the earth, all he said was, let there be. Amen. He didn't have to come down and say, okay, now this is what I mean. He said, let there be light. He didn't have to come and try to say, now, when I say this, this is going to happen. He said, let there be light, and there was light. That's the way God does it. God said, a virgin shall conceive. That doesn't need any interpretation. They didn't need anything to say, well, now, I know he said that in Isaiah, but that's not really what he meant. He says she's going to be virgin because she's going to be a nice person. She's going to be clean, or she's going to be immaculate conception come from God, just like Jesus. No, you don't need all that. God interpreted his own word by showing up in a manger. And when God interprets his own word, there's no other interpretation necessary. You don't have to second guess him. You don't have to try to figure it out. You don't have to try to wonder what God was up to. God was plain in what he was up to. But the problem was that people didn't understand the word of God. They interpreted the scriptures to their own damnation. It was in the scrolls the whole time. They all sang Isaiah when they went to the temple. They all knew about Isaiah. There wasn't hidden. As a matter of fact, the wise men, but when the wise men come there and they were looking for Jesus, they come, they said, well, it's written. Yeah. So they had been reading the scrolls for years and years and hundreds of years. So they knew the word, they knew the letter, but they interpreted the letter because in their thinking, Jesus, the Messiah, was going to come through the high priest. He was going to come to the temple. He was going to come through the lineage that was going to be the Levites, and he was going to be this great person. He come through the house of David, born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, the poorest, lowest town there was. Come in the most unusual way. Come in a way that nobody expected. But yet it was the word of God the whole time. And when Jesus showed up on the scene, they were so stuck on their tradition that they could not even recognize that it was God veiled in skin. And Jesus even turned around and told him, he said, because of your tradition, see how bad tradition is? Because of your tradition, you've made the word of God. God's own word can't even help you because you've interpreted to your own damnation. He said, because of your tradition, you have made the word of God of none effect. So if you have your ideas and you have your thinking, just like Kara did, she had her thinking, she had her ideas, but you have to lay your thinking down. You have to lay your interpretation down. You have to lay your idea down. If God would have told Kara 2 years ago, you're going to be sitting in church with a baby in your arms and a man next to you, she'd have laughed just like Sarah did. But in order for God to move, she had to lay her thinking down. Right. In order for God to move in your life, you have to lay your thinking down. Right. But God's interpretation is not going to be what you think it is.
That's right.
It never has been and never will be.
Amen.
It always will be according to His word, and it's going to be something that you never thought about. When God said He was going to destroy the earth with Noah, it was something so unusual, so unheard of, so impossible, that their tradition and their religious doctors couldn't get their hands wrapped around it. Noah said it's going to rain. What is rain? It's never rained before. Never had water come from above. The ground was water from beneath. So science was on the doctors of divinity side. Nature was on the doctor of divinity side. Gravity was on the doctor of divinity side. Everything was on the doctor of divinity side except for Noah. And he stood there by himself. And God said, I want you to build it, and this is how I want you to build it. Do you know what made that ark float? Not those instructions that God gave Noah. God kept that ark up. Because you realize that if man could build that ark according to the same specifications that you read in the Bible, they would have done it if it would be able to be made and float. Oh, I know they got the one in Kentucky. It's a mock-up of it, and it's got the specification, but you notice it's not floating in water. They didn't try that because they can't do it. They got too many creeds and dogmas mixed into even what they've got. We went through there a few years ago as a church, and I'm walking through there, and they got all these cages, and they got all these things, and this is all man's idea of what they think God did. And God bless them, I get it, because you're trying to use your theology and your thinking to understand it. But when God called those animals, the same one that called them two by two, the same one that told them where to go, the same one that put them in the ark, He could set them in there and let them sit there together with that one cage. But in our thinking, because we know animals, man's thinking says you got to have cages, you got to have all this food. You know what? God could have curbed their appetite. They didn't have to eat. God can do what we limit God by our tradition and our thinking. And when we read the Word of God, we read it through the filters of our tradition and our thinking. And by doing so, we make the Word of God an ineffect. The truth of the matter is, God said, Noah built this ark, build it this way, pitch it within and pitch it without, and do all these things. But when it was said and done, God caught the animals. God knew how many chairs they needed up at the dining room table. God knew who was going to be on the ark. God knew every animal was going to be on the ark. And when God got them in there, God took care of them. It wasn't Noah taking care of. We think Noah went in there every day, feed the animals, and taking care of the animals. And that's man's thinking. That ain't what the Bible says. God could put them in there. God fed them. God took care of them. God took care of Noah and them. He knew how long they were going to be in there. They didn't run out of any food. Animals just started looking cross-eyed at each other, thinking, no, I'm a little hungry here. No, no. It was God doing it. So when God does it, He interprets His own word by bringing it to pass. He doesn't need our help. And that's what we can't get around. That's what we can't get away from, because we always want to help God. We want to make sure that God, you know, does it the right way. Well, it's His own word. He said it. If I say a virgin is going to conceive, a virgin will conceive. They think, Mary got with a soldier. No, a virgin conceived. So, I want to go over here and talk today. And I told Clarice yesterday, it's holiday weekend. A lot of people are out because of the holiday. They're out traveling. Some are out sick, not feeling well. But I told Clarice yesterday, we were sitting at the table. I said, it's a holiday weekend. We're not going to have Sunday night service. I said, maybe I'll just do a 15-minute message this morning and, you know, get us going on our holiday. I looked across the table. She had that kind of smile. I said, what are you smiling at? She said, we're going to pull. You ain't getting out of there. But I'm not listening to her.
I'm going to try to keep it moving, and I'm already messed up. But I won't do all this today. And I'll skip and jump and try to move, stick and move. So it's good to be in the house. I want to go over here. And this I got from Wednesday night, so blame Jeremiah. I was sitting here Wednesday night listening to him preach, and I heard what he said, and I thought, wow, I need to go back and look at this again. And so it's a well-known scripture. We read it a lot. Turn with me over, please, to Revelation chapter 1. Got a few verses I want to read here. And I enjoyed Jeremiah Wednesday night, a Christian walk. It was very needed and very good. And I appreciate all my brothers and sisters, all the ministry and all the things that happens. And remember those that are out. There's people traveling, some in the country, some out of the country. They're just gone everywhere. Because it's summertime. This is time we usually get the kids out of school and take advantage of that time. So I don't blame them. I say have a good time, and when we get back, we'll be here, Lord willing. Good to see Sister King back. People are asking me about you. And I told them, I said, she'd let me know she was going to be down with her sister. And they were concerned because you'd been sick before you left. And I said, no, she's fine. She's down in Kentucky. And I think they tried to text you, and she's up in those mountains. You don't get nothing. So I said, no, she's up there, but she can't text. But good to have you back. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord. So if I want to read here, Revelation chapter 1, just three verses, the first three verses. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of the things that he saw. Blessed is he, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. I want to title the message this morning, Understanding the Book of Revelation. And I wanted to start here with this, and I dove into this week, and like I said, I won't do it justice today, but I just want to give us something to think on. Understanding the Book of Revelation. That's the last book of the Bible, and Revelation is the revealing, and that's what Revelation means. And it's only fitting that it's the final book of the Bible, because that's where God uncovers everything. Brother was talking the other week about the statue of Moses. And he had created the statue. Well, when you finish a statue, you do an unveiling. That's what Clarice does. She does it with her paintings. She goes somewhere to sell the painting or something. She said, I want to go do an unveiling. I'm like, why? Just throw the painting at him. But, you know, that's not... I'm no artist, so I don't do that kind of stuff. It's like, I throw it at you here. That's yours. But I guess the unveiling is the big show of it being completed. And so when the artist, Michelangelo, did that statue of Moses, I'm sure they had an unveiling of it. And when you get to the unveiling, you take the cover that's on it, and you take the cover off, and let you see everything that he has done to that piece of stone. And so here, the book of Revelation is fitting to be where it's located in the chronological order of the books of the Bible, because it is the book of revealing. After God finished everything he wanted to do in the Bible, he brings you over to Revelation and he reveals the whole thing. People don't understand that. You got preachers who don't preach in the book of Revelation. They don't want to preach in it because they don't have a clue about what it's saying. And then some get it and they don't understand what to do with it. And they don't understand the hour that we're living in. You know we're in the end time. Everybody knows that. I mean, you can ask just a person on the street, And they'll tell you we're at the end time. This world is gone. The family unit is gone. The church is gone. The business is gone. The countries are gone. Everything's gone. They're turning churches into museums because there's nobody going. There's more atheists now than there's ever been, and they just don't believe in God at all. And it's getting into the same position that it was in the day of Noah. And we need to understand this, because in order for you to understand this book, you have to understand its order, where it's at, and what it's trying to do. And it's not just going to church and doing the same old 6 and 7 that we've done for the last 2,000 years. When you get to the end time, there's got to be specific things that's going to dictate the day and hour that you're living in. And we got to know this, because, you know, if you don't know it, you don't know how to prepare for it. If it has an uncertain sound, how can you prepare for battle? So the word has to have a specific sound. Jesus understood this when he was here. Amen. He knew that they were asking him about the end time. Right, yeah. And he said, you can discern the signs of the time. You can see the morning and the red, and you know whether to go fishing or not, whether there's going to be a storm or what's coming on. You can discern the times by the weather, by what you're looking at. But you cannot discern the signs of the time. People can't discern the signs of the time that we're living in today. And this book of Revelation was the unveiling of the entire Bible. It not only showed you what God was doing, it showed you what God is doing, and it showed you also what's yet to come. Amen. The book of Revelation held it all. Yes. Now, you can read all the Old Testament books and types and shadows. Those are all fine and dandy. I read them all the time. I love the story of David. I love reading the Old Testament. But the Old Testament is not where the bride of Jesus Christ was created. The bride of Jesus Christ was created in the New Testament. Yes. And the Old Testament was the Word of God hidden. Uh-huh. Yes. And the bride was hid in that Old Testament scripture. The groom was hidden in the Old Testament scripture. When it talked about the coming of the Messiah, and Moses told him, he said, God will raise up a prophet like it unto me. All of those are Old Testament scriptures that were real, they were true, and it was the Word of God. But those Old Testament scriptures had to be fulfilled. And that's what the New Testament is all about. See, people don't even know the difference, really, between the Old Testament and New. Why we had the Old Testament, why we had the New Testament. The Old Testament is Jesus Christ concealed. It talked about him, and was talking about every scripture in the Old Testament was pointing in types and shadows of the coming of the Messiah. If you read anything in that Old Testament and you don't get Jesus Christ out of it, go back and read it again. Because if you can't find him in that Old Testament, that's what it was all about. That's why we have those books of the Bible. And then when you get over there into the New Testament, in the New Testament, those New Testaments was the revealing of the bride of Jesus Christ. So you get over to the book of Revelation, and that's the book that reveals the whole book. It shows everything that God was doing. It shows everything, and that's why it's important to know that book. That's why it's important to understand the book of Revelation, because if we are at the end time, and we are, then we have to know this book. Listen to what we read here. Verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time, what time? Is at hand. The end of it. The wrapping up. The finish of it. People don't even look at this Bible, the book of Revelations, as prophecy that has been fulfilled. They don't recognize that. And that's the first place we need to start. And that's why, even in talking about understanding the book of Revelations, you got to understand, number one, why that book is there.
Yeah.
It's not just like the book of John. The book of John was not prophecy. The book of John was history. when John the Revelator wrote this book, it had not come to pass. It was all prophecy. Everything they wrote in the book of Revelations was prophecy. But standing here today, I can tell you that a lot of the book of Revelation is no longer prophecy, but it's been fulfilled. And you need to understand that. And that's what the churches don't get. They don't understand that we are living in the book of Revelation.
That's right. Wow.
They want to live in the book of John. They want to live in the book of Matthew. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John were just guards for the book of Acts.
Amen.
And they'll spend all their time talking about history. Spend all the time talking about, we need to understand this book. Understanding the book of Revelations will show you what God's been doing for the last 2,000 years.
Amen.
Outside of this book, you'll never know. You won't. You'll look and you'll think, well, I love Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I love Acts. I love Corinthians.
Yeah.
First and second.
Right. Amen.
I love them all.
Amen.
I love the whole book.
Yeah.
But what I do see is that the book of Revelation is a book that everybody can't get.
That's right.
Matter of fact, this little secret message that John the Revelator wrote here wasn't to everybody. And so I thought, after Wednesday night service, I thought I want to just cover the things that John was talking about here, because you got to have these things in order to understand this book.
Yeah.
Number one, in verse 3, says, blessed is he that readeth. You got to read it.
There it is.
You can't avoid it.
Yep.
He said, well, I'll read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but I ain't going in that book of Revelation. Horse riders, candlesticks, dragons, beasts, angels, fallen angels. I can't. Whore and smoke rising out of the city. City built on the city on seven hills. And I don't understand any of that stuff. I'm staying away from that book. Can't. Not at the end time. You've got to get in this book. Because this book is going to tell you the whole story of what God was doing.
Amen.
So blessed is he that readeth. The second part of it is they that hear.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Everybody can't understand the book of Revelations.
Yeah.
Everybody can't hear. And I'm not talking about I hear you.
Right.
No, to hear is to understand.
Right.
And all you're getting,
get
an understanding.
Yeah.
So not only do you have to hear this book, read this book, you got to be able to get an understanding of this book.
Right.
And the third one is the one Jeremiah hit Wednesday night. They that keep the words of this prophecy.
Yeah.
So there's three things that you have to have in reading the book of Revelation that most people don't get. They don't read it. They don't hear the word. And neither do they keep it. But listen to what he called it. He said it's prophecy. Prophecy. This book of prophecy. The entire book of Revelation, when John the Revelator wrote it, was a book of prophecy.
Amen.
Not one thing was taking place when he wrote that book.
Right.
Now let's read that again. Because I want this to, if I get nothing else, I got 15 pages here and I ain't getting there. But I just want you to understand these three. If I can get you on these three items, I'll come back with the rest. But on these three items, I want you to understand. In order to understand the book of Revelation, you have to have these three.
Right. That's right.
He that readeth. Blessed is he that readeth. And they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. It's up.
Yeah.
It's over.
Right.
It's completed. Those three things, please remember those three things. First, and I already hit this, sort of backing into it. So the first thing you got to do is you got to recognize your day.
That's right.
If you don't understand this is the end time, don't get the book of Revelation. Stay over in John. Stay over in Acts. It's safe there. You get over in the book of Revelations. And remember I said God interprets his own word. I'm not going to sit here and interpret the book of Revelations to you today. I'm going to tell you, God has interpreted his own word by bringing it to pass. That's what the seven church ages were all about. Amen. I don't have to prove to you the seven church ages are happening. It's already happened. God is interpreting it himself.
Amen.
But first you got to recognize the day that you're living in. Oh, we can read it, but Luke 17:30, Luke 17:26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. See, remember, God put things in the Bible for us to be able to, signs for us to be able to tell what day we're living in. We can see the signs in the skies. They have tornado warnings out now. They can tell you when a storm's coming. They can tell you, I know it's going to be sunny this week. It's going to be in the 90s. I was going to pressure wash my deck and stain it last week, but I saw it was going to be in the 90s next week. I said, well, why do it now when I can do it when it's warm? That's, we can discern the signs of the skies. We can do that. But most people cannot discern the hour that they're living in. They don't realize, if people really knew that this was the end time, they would do things a whole lot different. If you knew the day that Jesus was coming again, how would you live? If you knew he's coming at 5 o'clock this evening, what would that do for you today? Oh, well, why don't we just have church till 5? And see, that changed your whole attitude. Well, who needs to eat? If Jesus is coming at 5, well, I don't need to go home. I just stay here and just have... I just changed my plan. See, if we knew it, we would act accordingly. That's why God uses prophecy. And he'll tell you what's coming, but not everybody's going to believe what he said. And so he said, as it was in the day of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. They did eat. They drank. They married wives. They were given in marriage. Until the day that Noah entered the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. That was a sign. That was a sign. God interprets his own word by bringing it to pass. And had, you can't hardly go in a block or two without running to a restaurant. We are the most unhealthy people. I'm talking about United States. I'll go out of the country. And when I pass all those other countries, the airplanes going to other countries, I see thin people. Healthy people, thin people. Then I get over to the United States line. Just, we are the most, I'm talking about Americans, we are the most unhealthy,
I hear ya.
Obese, us, our kids, everybody. That's the American way. Because you know what it shows you? It's not so much the food, but it shows that America is rich. We have so much, and where other countries are eating rice for a meal. If I put a bowl of rice in front of you as a meal, you'd like, where the rest? That's right, you know what? I did that yesterday. I come to think of it. I was walking through the kitchen, and I shouldn't tell you all that stuff, but I do anyway. I was walking through the kitchen, and I was hungry. I hadn't eaten breakfast, and Clary's come late, and she hadn't eaten breakfast. So I'm like, why are you feeding me? Why are we eating today? She's like, oh, I got you fixed. I got you. So I went on about my business, and I'm, you know, just passing through the kitchen. And I see this salad. She said something about the salad. I said, oh, I don't want no salad. She's in there just making the salad. I'm like, okay, she's going to make a salad. All right. So she's making all this salad, put all this stuff in. It was a really good salad, strawberries and everything in it. It's like a breakfast lunch. It's about 11 o'clock. So I was like, it's brunch. So she's making this salad. I'm walking through. And I'm seeing the salad, and she's just working away. And I'm thinking to myself, where's the meat? But then I saw on the counter, she had a BLT sitting over there. And I'm like, okay. But see, you know, we want to eat. We want to eat. That's American. We don't put a bowl of rice in front of you and tell you that's all you're eating for the day. You protest. But we're rich. Matter of fact, I could go over to Revelation chapter 3 and tell you about the church. I'm trying to save time, but Revelation chapter 3 tells us this Laodicean church, we are rich, increase with good, and have need of nothing. We don't need God. That's this last church age. That's where we're living. Have need of nothing. We're rich. Taking communion out of gold cups. Eating off of gold plates. Doing good. Don't have need of nothing. But remember, he brings his word to pass himself. He shows it by bringing it to pass. Revelation 3. But you're blind, wretched, miserable, poor, naked. Do you realize this last age is an age of equal rights? That's what Laodicea means. Age of man's rights, equal rights. When in the tarnation of man have we ever had so many people with rights? Everybody's got rights. Women's rights, gays' rights, children's rights, animal rights, prisoners' rights. Everybody's got rights. That's the, see, God's so good. God is so good that he just says it and he sits back and watches it happen. You couldn't have made this church world, this world, any more match the scriptures than it does. They're marrying. They're giving and marrying. Marriage and divorce, more divorce cases now than ever. It's hard to find somebody married 10 years now. It used to be that way with work. You'd have to be 10 years to be vested. People didn't stay in, so they didn't stay very long, so they had to lower the vestige down to 5. Marriages used to last till death do you part. Some people don't even want it in their vows anymore because they don't stay married. Find somebody married 10 years, you ought to give them an award. Bible says they're married and given in marriage. It's hard to find people married 20, 30, 40 years now. They're lucky to get past 1 or 2. But that's a sign. We don't pay attention to the signs. As it was in the day of Noah. Likewise, verse 28, Luke 17, likewise as it was in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank. Why is that always in there? At the destruction of man, man is always taking care of himself. Selfish. Greedy. Do you know there's enough food on this planet to feed the whole world? Nobody should start. We throw more food away in America.
I know you're right. You're right.
We waste food. That's man for you. We want something, we'll go get it. We eat it, we eat part of it, throw the rest away. These are signs. Most people don't recognize them as signs. They just think, well, they're just fool. These are biblical signs of the time. In both cases, in Noah's time, and in Lot's time, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. Look around you. I remember when we went through that one time period there for a while there, the money was bad. Something was going on. I forget what the cause was, but building stopped. I forget what it was. And you didn't see no new buildings going up at all. I think it was some kind of, it was something going on. I forget what it was, but I noticed. I was like, nobody's building nothing. But then we got through that period. Now things are just going up like this. That's man. They build, they buy and they sell, they go and they move. Those are signs, people. We don't hardly pay any attention, but that's what, this is red letter. Jesus said it himself. Pay attention. When it's red letter, that means you pay attention. Jesus said it himself. He said, likewise was in the day of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. People don't even read. They don't even read 30, verse 30. They don't even read it. They read right over it. They're so busy talking about Lot and about Noah and about Sodom and the condition of the world that they don't even read verse 30, which is the most important of everything he said up there. That's what he was pointing to. Even thus shall there be in the day in the Son of, when the Son of Man is revealed. What Son of Man? What is the Son of Man? I don't have enough time today. People don't even know what the Son of Man is. They don't know the difference between Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. They call him all three, but you know what? If you don't call God by the proper sonship, he will not answer you. That woman that was calling on him, oh, Son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't even recognize her because she wasn't a Jew, and he just kept on walking.
Amen.
He had her. She was calling him by the wrong name. But God uses his name to show what he's doing. As Son of David, king over the Israelites, over Israel, king on his throne. When this is all said and done, he's going to be the Son of David. But he's not the Son of David right now. They say, oh, he's not? No, he's not, but he is. That's to throw the devil off. Son of God is an unseen force. That's God here, but you don't know where he is. Don't know what he's doing. He's veiled. He's covered. He don't want you to know. He's working. He's trying to hide himself from you. So he comes in as a Son of God ministry, and he does what he wants to do according to his word, but you just don't know it. Under the Son of God ministry, we didn't know who we were. We didn't know if we were saved or not. We didn't know if we were going to make it. We didn't know if God was right, what God was doing. We didn't know nothing. And that was an unseen force. It was still God, but it was God, and you didn't know it was God. He did that down through the seven church ages. That was an unseen force. That was God, but it was also the Son of Man in the midst of it all. Son of Man is the fullness of the Word veiled in human skin. That's why Jesus said he was the Son of Man. That's why the prophets of the Old Testament were the Son of Man. Whenever God's Word come to the prophet, God called them Son of Man. When you get the fullness of God's word in human skin, you got the Son of Man on the scene. And there's a difference between the time of the Son of Man and the Son of God. Amen. Oh, I know I'm moving fast, but I got to move fast because it's going to get late quick. When he was the Son of God, we didn't know who he was. When he was Son of David, he's king over Israel and king of kings and Lord of lords. But when he's the Son of Man, he's the Word of God in his fullness veiled in human skin. And Jesus said, you're going to long to see one of the days of the Son of Man. Amen. In other words, it's not going to be every day, but you're going to want to see one of them, because when you got the Word of God veiled in human flesh, that's the Son of Man, and that's the day you want to see.
Yes. Wow. Amen.
So you couldn't even begin to understand the book of Revelation till you understand the day and hour you're living in.
That's right.
If you can't look around you and see the signs of the time, and understand that God's pointing you right to the book of Revelations. That's why John wrote that. Yeah. Says, hey, let me put this little footnote in here for you. When you can read this book and understand it and keep it, the time is at hand.
Yeah.
Most churches don't even realize it. They don't know the time. They don't know the day. You got to understand the day and hour. Everybody says we're at the end time, but what's your proof? How do you know? Where's the manifestation of the proof? Because you got to have proof. If you're going to take somebody to court, you got to have proof. God can't judge you without proof. And when you ask him why we're at the end time, how do you know we're at the end time? Well, we're at the end time because things are bad. Well, how do you know things are bad? Where's your comparison? Where's your scripture? What are you basing it on?
Right.
You know, some people just feel bad. Oh, it's just, ooh, it just feels bad. It feels like the time is bad. It just feels like Like Sister Sandra said, I was sweating when Sandra was talking, because she's like, I was out in Drexel. I'm like, oh, God. Yeah, Sandra, that's not a place for a woman to go by herself. It's not even a place for a man to go by himself. Drexel's been bad a long time. Yeah. Drexel was bad when I lived in Dayton. But see, God takes care of his own. You can't just go by a feeling. I feel like this is a bad neighborhood. Oh, it's a bad neighborhood. This world is gone. The love for God is waxed cold. They don't believe. Most people don't even believe in God. And those that believe in God don't have a clue about what God's doing. And they don't even want to get in the book of Revelation because the book of Revelation scares them. But we can't get out of here without the book of Revelations. So, all right, I'm rolling on. I'm rolling, rolling. Okay.
Oh my goodness.
God promised in Joel chapter 2 that he was going to restore his word. In order to understand the book of Revelations, you have to understand the word. And in order to understand the word, God had to restore it because of man's tradition. Man has gotten their tradition so mixed into the Bible that you can't hardly... I listen to some people reading the Bible on the radio, and they have these new versions that are so different than King James or something that's close to King James that it actually loses the flavor of the Scripture. And you say, I've got a new American Standard, this, this, and this. Well, that's fine. But you don't get something. They're talking about, I don't know if they've done it, but I know they talked about doing it, to making a Bible that take the masculinity out of it. I've not seen it, but I've heard about it. I heard two women, where was I? Oh, that's a doctor's office. Getting ready to go in a doctor's office. These two women were talking, to two sisters, I'll call them, because they were churchy people. And they were talking, yeah, honey, God's a woman. And I'm like, but they're taking a masculinity. See, God wants to be the groom. And he wants Jesus Christ to be the groom and we to be the bride. But when you water, you can water, you know, you can water something down so much, you can water Kool-Aid down enough to... it tastes nasty. It tastes good when you got the right amount of Kool-Aid versus sugar versus water. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Come on, y'all from the west side. Even if it's the west side of Fairborn. But you can water something down so much that the goodness of its taste is gone. That's what they've done with the Word of God. They're taking away the masculinity. They're taking away the man's role. They're taking away the woman's role. They're taking away the kid's role. They're taking away all these roles. And then the home's a wreck. The church is a wreck. The city's a wreck. The state's a wreck. The country's a wreck. And everybody's wondering what happened. You took the Word of God out of school. We used to pledge allegiance to the flag when I was growing up. I don't even know if they do that anymore. When I was at Springfield Metro, we'd do the Pledge of Allegiance before our board meeting. And we'd do the Pledge of Allegiance. And it's just, I don't know. I was so ingrained with the Pledge of Allegiance that it always followed with My Country, 'Tis the Thee. We always sang that. So they don't even know that. No, they don't even know that song now. The kids don't even know that song.
Wow.
But we always pledge allegiance and then sang My Country, 'Tis the Thee.
Wow.
Y'all old people know. But they don't do, no, I don't think they do it. I don't know, but I don't think they do any of that anymore. I don't have any kids in school. I have grandkids in school. So my kids are out of school. But just visiting and looking and just watching, it's like this country, they sold out the Word of God. They sold out the Word of God. Madeline O'Hara took it out of school. Took it out of school. Then now you got no reference to God in school. So now you got to change the curriculum. And then the books are... See how slick Satan is? He's not going to just take God out of the country or out of the world, he's going to lull you to sleep. First he takes prayer out. Then he takes the pledge out. Then he takes, you know, I'm shocked they still have "In God We Trust" on the dollar. I'm surprised somebody hadn't took that off of there. They'll want to. If it wasn't for the factor, we use that as an example of the capstone. We need that dollar. But they've taken God so far away from the man, and he's watered down so weakly that Christians can't even be bold. Can't even be strong. Men can't be men. People can't be Christians. They can't be believers. They can't stand on, you can't even be sure who you are. You can't. You talk like we talk. And they say, "Who are you?" I told you about that guy, that preacher. I had lunch with him. I was just eating lunch, and we just talked about the Word of God. And he got up and looked at me and said, "Who do you think you are? Who gives you that authority?" And I thought, what did I say? And he stumped off. To this day, I don't know why he got mad. I was just talking about the Word of God. But you can't talk with authority. You can't know. You know, everybody, they always say, "Nobody knows for sure." Oh, yes, I do. Yeah. Nobody knows what it is. Oh, yes, I do. Amen. Had a woman when I was at Shushman tell me, "No, you can't explain the Trinity." Yes, I can. Yeah. Don't tell me what I can't explain. But to be sure, if you're sure of yourself, this world is so watered down that it makes them uncomfortable, and they don't want nothing to do with you because you're taking too much upon yourself. That sounds like my husband. That sounds like they did Jesus. Jesus, being a man, he got in trouble for two things. He told them who he was, and he told them who they were. And which bride is going to get in trouble for two things? Telling us who we are and telling who they are. They told Jesus, "You being a man, to make yourself equal with God."
That's right.
Of course he told him he was equal with God, because he was God.
Yeah.
This bride's getting in trouble because she says she's equal with God. Of course she's going to get in trouble because she is God.
Amen.
I can't get off of what the promises are this day.
Amen.
They've got the word so watered down that people can't even be sure who they are. They don't even know for sure if God hears their prayers. They don't know nothing. They're so watered down. Nobody knows. Nobody can do. Nobody can answer. Nobody can heal. Nobody can. Nobody can. Nobody. And they've got you so watered down, you almost don't even want to claim to be a Christian. That's why most people give up and stop. But you need somebody on the scene who knows what it is. Somebody on the scene who can answer those questions. Who else can have a Bible study every Sunday night for a year? Never have a quote. Never have a scripture. Come in here and can answer every question.
Amen.
So now that people don't know, it's so watered down and weak that nobody knows anything. And that's where Satan wants us. He wants you lukewarm, Brother Don. That's what Revelation 3 says. He said, "I'd rather you be hot or cold. Either get in the church and burn or get out."
Right.
That's sort of like I'd say. Come to think of it, I just thought of that. Now I got scriptures to go with it. I'd rather you be cold or hot. But you're lukewarm. That's somebody so watered down. Not hot, not burning. I can't stand cold, milky, lukewarm tea. Give me a hot cup of tea or give me iced tea. One or the other. One or the other. And I like them both. But when my tea sits for 15 minutes, I don't want it. He said, "I'd rather you be hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth." That's the way God looks at it. But we're in such an hour that nobody knows. Everybody's so watered down. Everything's so... And everybody goes to church. Everybody's religious. Oh, I remember when the presidents became religious. I think it was Carter. Born again believer. Carter was a born again believer. And every president since Carter had to be religious. It's a requirement. Because you got those, you know, the religious churches around this country. You better have some kind of religion. You better serve God. And they'll cater to you, even if you're not a real believer. They'll cater to you as long as you claim Christianity of some kind. I mean, come on, y'all. Y'all know President Trump wasn't no Christian. It's like, what do you call it? Two Corinthians?
Oh, that was...
But he had to do it.
Yeah.
Because he needed that vote.
Yeah.
Same as Biden. Same as all of them. They're all the same. They're all catering. I like Brother Reggie. I like the way Brother Reggie said it. Put them all in a bag, shake them up, and pour them out, and they all come out the same.
Yeah.
This country's gone. This world is gone. Yeah. There is no good people.
Amen. I hear you. You're right.
It's over. And we need to recognize that. You say, well, you're preaching a message that's going to make us feel bad about everything. No, I'm just trying to wake you up to see that the book of Revelations is telling you, hey, shake yourself. Don't be gnawed to sleep with all this stuff, this politics and religion and churchiness and all this stuff that's out here. It's a sign of the time. It's the hour that we're living in. Understanding the book of Revelation, you can't even begin to understand the book of Revelation till you first recognize your day and its message. I know I'm not getting any further than this. I ain't going no further than this. So I'm just settling down on that first thing that we need to do. We need to understand the hour that we're living in. We need to understand that the Word of God is marching forward even though Satan is destroying this world. This world looks bad, but you know the bride looks the best she's ever looked.
Amen. That's right.
The church world is getting so mellow till you can almost, there's almost no differences in any of them. But the bride, and I call her the bride, because she's the ones that's going to stand with the Word of God.
Right.
It's not going to be Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, whatever, name it. It's not going to be in. She's going to be, what did he do in the book of Revelation? He told us he was on the outside of the door, knocking. And we have interpreted that, and I've heard it. Don't tell me I haven't. I heard it. That's God on the outside of your heart, knocking to get in to your heart. That's man's interpretation of it. Look around you. Look at the interpretation that God has laid out. God is on the outside of the church, not knocking to get into the church again because they don't want him. But what did he say? If you come out to me, you come and sup with me, and I'll sup with you. You don't have to be in any denomination to have Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have to have the Word, because He is the Word. And when you get the Word, you've got God. But the hour that we're living in, they've so watered things down that God had to leave the... There has been not one age that God ever left the church but the last one. I can go over to Revelation 3. I'm trying to get you out of here. Don't make me go over there. Over there in Revelation 3, he was put outside the church. They said they're rich, increased with good, and don't have need of nothing. You can't understand the book of Revelation like that. You sit up there with your own ideas and your thinking, and God can't even let himself be manifested to you fully until you get away from that thinking and those ideas. Oh, Lord. That's the day and hour we're living in. That's where we're at, people. I'm not making this up. I'm not even interpreting this. I'm just saying, look here. What do you see? Look here. What do you see? The interpretation is right in front of you.
That's right.
And as Brother Branham said, if a man says the sun's not shining and goes in the house and goes down in the basement and pulls down the shade, there's something wrong with him. For you to look around and see the very manifestation of this world falling apart and not realizing it's in trouble, and they've lost their love for God, for you not to see that, there's something wrong with you. It's an hour where man has gotten away from God. And I don't care how many churches they put on every corner. It's gone. You say, well, we're going to get it back. We're going to sing Kumbaya. We're going to hold hands around America. We're going to do all the... It ain't going to work. We're going to build hospitals. We're going to feed the poor. It ain't going to work. Jesus said, the poor you'll have with you always. You'll never get rid of the poor because you'll never get rid of greedy man. You say, well, what kind of message is this? It's turned out to be a message to show you the hour that we're living in.
Amen. Right.
And it's not to scare you, but just to open your eyes. Tell you to look around to the very manifestation that's right before you. Yeah, they're shooting in schools. Yeah, they're killing kids. They're killing in our stores. They're killing in churches. There is no respect for God at all. They've lost their ever-loving mind. This world is crazy. And the only sanity there are those who can look around and see God's signs of the time and be able to look at themselves and say, I need to do this thing the right way. I need to shake myself. I'm talking to me. I need to shake myself. It's later than you think. And it's not so much of trying to get everybody together and get everybody saved and get everybody cleaned up and gather all these meetings and have big revivals. It's over. Save yourself from this untoward generation. They don't want it. He said, well, you're not making me feel good. I should be making you feel real good. Because in the midst of all of this, in the midst of all the darkness of Egypt, there was Goshen. There was light in Goshen in the midst of all the hell that was going on in Egypt. And in the midst of all of this that we see, when we get over there, they're going to say, where were you from, Jay? Oh, I was over there in last age. I was a lady, sir. Yeah. How in the world did you navigate through all of that? Amazing grace, how sweet us out that saved a wretch like me. That's the only way any of us is going to get there. It's not by our smartness, not by what we've done, not by what we know. It's that we recognize the signs of the time, and now we understand the book of Revelation because it told us everything that was going to happen, and it came to pass just as it said. This bride has made herself ready.
Yes.
We won't get to it today, but the bride, the spirit and the bride in the book of Revelation says, come. The last call to this world is going to come not from Jesus, but from the bride.
Yes.
She's going to be here with the same Son of Man ministry, knowing exactly who she is, and she's going to tell you, come out of her, my people, and partake not of her sin, and you won't take part of her plagues either. This is the scriptures that's recognizing our day. Reckon I have to come back, and I'll just wrap it up here, because the first thing you got to do to understand the book of Revelation is understand the day and hour that you're living in. That's the key point. And when you recognize your day in this message, then you can start saying, now look over here, I see that. Not only do we see Satan, but you know what, we see God.
Yeah.
We see God doing this. We see God doing that. We see God moving. We see God healing. We see God stirring. We see God changing hearts and lives and minds. And He's doing this. And He's doing it just according to His word.
Amen.
He's never slowed down about His word. He's never changed His mind about His word. He's never had to second guess His word. It repented Him that He made man, but it made Him sad. It would, God would, that all men would be saved. But it makes Him sad because He knows they won't. But it's not going to stop His plan. It's not going to stop redemption. His truth is marching on. God bless you. I'll try again maybe next Sunday. I honestly had, like, I actually do have 15 pages, but I knew. I said, yes, I said, Lord, no, there's no way. No, I'm not doing 15. And I was trying to tuck myself into 15-minute service, and that didn't work. But we need to understand the day that we're living in before we can even make the right move. You got to know where you're at before you know where to go. You get that? You hear me? You got to know where you're at before you know where you're going. If you're lost now and you don't have a clue which direction to go, I got lost every time I went to Huber Heights because all those houses built the same and you're getting these cul-de-sacs. And I'd walk out of a house and I'd look and I don't remember which side of the street I came on. I don't remember which way. And every one of them turned. So I got lost. I was ashamed to say I went to a doctor's appointment, left work early to get the doctor's appointment, and the office is on Huber Heights, and I never got there. Never. I was so ashamed. And I pass that office every once in a while now, and I see it. I said, there's that building. But if you don't know where you're at, how can you determine where you're going? Heavenly Father, we're so grateful this morning for your word. Oh, Lord, it's chopped up as it is, and there's a little bit of this and a little of that. I finally settled into trying to just let us see the day and hour that we're living in and how critical of an hour it is and how few there'll be that find it. Father, I pray you'll take these words and anoint it to the people. They'll understand I'm not just trying to make fun or to talk down. I'm trying to open our eyes to the hour that we're living in so that we can take some moves in the right direction and make some steps that would be pleasing to you. It's not about me. It's not about getting numbers and trying to get. I'm trying to tell us the hour so that we can open our eyes and look around us and see what you're doing. Thank you for this opportunity today. Thank you for our congregation coming and spending a little time with me. And I pray, Lord, that you'll let it be something that they can take home with them and it'll edify them and it'll stir them to move into your direction. That's what the word has come to do. Help us, Father. Be with us throughout this day and just bless this week coming up. Thank you for everything. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, musicians. Don't forget, no service on Sunday night, tonight. Yes, you can. Yeah. Prayer cloth. We still believe that God answers prayers. And in the book of Acts, they took cloths, aprons, cut them up, and gave it to people who were in need of healing. They needed healing and they came to the disciples and they cut up their aprons and cut them into little cloths and they prayed for those cloths and they took the cloth back to the one that needed it and the faith that they had in the prayer of the saints went with the cloth and touched and healed the people. And many people have had cloths prayed for, and many people here in the congregation had them. And it's the faith that moves God. Not the cloth. This is just a piece of cloth. But the prayer that's going with the cloth moves the faith of the people. And God will touch the people. Yes. So come and lay your hands on this, and we're going to pray as believers. It's not just me, it's us. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful this morning for your word. And your word, Lord, is here for us to receive of it. And Lord, as these cloths are going from this place today, we ask you to send the prayers of the saints with the cloth and let the faith rise up in the people to bring the healing to the body, whatever the need is. We don't have to have the details of what the demons called, but Lord, we just pray that you'll touch because Satan is Satan and God, you're God. And ask you to move in behalf of these requests. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 This one. This one. This one. Yeah. A microphone, anywhere.
Just wanted to give a praise report. My sister's doing good, and you know, I kind of feel like a little bit of a bad brother, just because after I talked to her, I never really checked on the storm or never checked anything, never checked up on anything, not even really her. She just got back a hold of me, and she said, everything's good over here. She's like, I had to check into work, and everything's good, and you know, their house is still intact, and they had a little bit of flooding, but nothing too, you know, major or anything. No lives were lost anywhere. So I was just grateful for that. And just one more thing that I wanted to say is I just wanted to thank God for my boys and for Beth's boys. And, you know, just sometimes, you know, I'm a little hard on them, especially like on Sundays and stuff, because this word is so important to me. And, you know, everybody's got their story in here and where we all come from and our background and everything like this. But, like, this thing is the most important thing that you could have in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And if I did anything, if you guys remember anything about me, is that I love this thing. And I'll give my whole life to it. And it's really important to put something in your kids because, man, they won't know. They won't know mm-hmm. unless you show them.
That's
and
right.
That's my responsibility. And so if I'm a little harsh in the morning, it's just because this thing means so much to me, and I want to give this to you. It's the only thing I have to give. And, you know, I could give you anything in this life, but just this is the most important. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. No service tonight. Come back Wednesday night. We have company this Wednesday night. So, Kevin, are you coming this way? Yeah. Yes, sir. Well, take your time. We got all day. Till 5.
I just want to thank God. You know, I just want to thank God for this message. I mean, you know, you said you butchered it, but man, that was a great message. I mean, my goodness. I mean, if you don't know this is the end time, something is wrong with you because it's obvious. You know, it is. And I thank God that we have a place to come. I really do. I mean, you know, you listen to a lot of people and, you know, it's sad because they don't know what's going on and you feel bad for him. You really do. I mean, and you got people listening to Dr. Phil, his advice, and I'm thinking, like, really? Like, I'd be amazed. Like, you really going to take this man's advice? Like, he acts like nothing's going on in his life. He's got everything so perfect. But you know it's a facade. That's right. All. That's just Satan. That's all that is.
Mm-hmm.
But people will suck that up and think that his life is just so good. I'm thinking, like, something's wrong with you. It really is. I mean, something has got to be wrong with you because, you know, this life is hard, but you know what? We have a place to come to.
Mm-hmm.
We have rest, and you take it for granted that we have this. This is not everywhere out there. It's not.
No.
We are a particular people. This bride is just like anybody else. We have a strong mind,
mm-hmm.
and you're dealing with us. God's here. I don't care what you think. God is here. If you look in that flesh, it's going to mess you up every single time.
It
that's
will.
All you cared about. But you got to listen to the words that's coming out of a man's and woman's mouth. You got to understand that God's there.
Right.
You can't just touch the bride in any kind of way because you will pay.
Mm-hmm.
You will
yes,
pay.
You will.
You're going to pay for it. Sooner or later, you're going to pay.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank God that I know where God is at. I thank God. I'm just sitting there like, thank God for just talking to me one more time. That I can just take this and just receive this.
Amen.
I don't have to bat an eye. Even if I don't understand, you know what, God? You're going to reveal it to me later on anyway. I don't even bat an eye. Like, Lord, you've been so good. I've been coming this way this far that everything you said has been true.
Right.
I'm not going to doubt it now. Why now? You've been good.
That's right.
Just thank God. I just thank
God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Like I said, we have company coming Wednesday, so keep that in mind. What a mighty God we serve. Good to have you all out. Enjoy your day, and we'll see you next service. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, yes, what a mighty God we serve.